I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat,
but not a real fur coat, that's cruel.
This is a song by the Canadian band Bare Naked Ladies. If you even walked past a radio in the 90s, you probably heard it. Over the years, the band's biggest hits have all been quirky, bouncy, playful. It's no surprise, then, that their new record, their first written for children, is one big party. So on this Father's Day, let's get a taste of their new album. It's called Snack Time.
A is for aisle, B is for Delium, C is for Czar, and if you see him, would you mind telling him?
Okay, hang on a second. You got aisle,
yeah,
Delium.
Aisle, like a theater.
Right, okay, and then Delium?
Delium, it's a gum-like tree resin. It starts with a silent B.
And then Czar.
Yeah, it's like a Russian Czar. You know, everybody knows apple, ball, and cat. I wanted to get into some stranger words.
Right, I see what you're doing.
Two members of Bare Naked Ladies join me now from NPR Studio in Culver City, California. We have Stephen Page and Kevin Hearn. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Hi.
The song we're listening to now, called Crazy ABCs, and Stephen Page, I understand you co-wrote this one. And let me just point out, P is for pneumonia, pterodactyl, and psychosis.
That's right, because we figured enough, if you're going to actually stoop so low as to put another alphabet song on the record, you may as well mess with it as best you can. And, you know, one of the things that we do, and we've always done in the band, this is our 20th anniversary, and, you know, when Ed and I started the group, a lot of what we did was that banter, and that banter you hear in Crazy ABCs is the same kind of thing we do in If I Had $1 Million and often do in the shows.
That's Ed Robertson, who sings and plays guitars with you guys.
And who forgot to put a word for the letter I in the song, which we didn't realize till after we'd recorded it.
He went back and stuck it in, rewrote some of the lyrics to stick it in, and then realized he put it in the wrong order. So now it goes A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I, H, J, K.
L-N-O-P. Yeah, it goes G is for gnarly,
yeah.
I is for irk,
yeah.
And H is for hour.
Yeah.
That's crazy ABCs.
That's stupid ABCs.
But is it important to you to make music that won't drive parents crazy too?
Absolutely. We wanted to make a record that parents would enjoy listening to and wouldn't get tired of.
You know, I have lots of memories of being in my car on long road trips with I have three boys. And listening to the same songs over and over again, mm-hmm. and being thankful for the ones that I loved, and really, when it came to listening to the Crazy Frog album, I wanted to tear my hair out.
Is that the Wiggles? Is that
no? Crazy Frog was this British phenomenon. It started as, I think it was actually Swedish. It started as a ringtone. And there were like all kinds of little web videos and so on for it. It became kind of a phenomenon in Europe, and I guess it crossed over here a little bit a couple years ago, and it's really awful stuff, but fun.
Well, I tell you, my daughter now says, Mommy, I want popcorn song. I want popcorn song.
Yay.
So let's play her the popcorn song.
Mama put the popcorn kernels in the pot. She turned up the heat, now the pot is getting hot. And then those popcorn kernels start to pop, 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 pop.
This sounds like popcorn popping.
It is.
And I mean,
That's my childhood choir joining us singing on that one.
It's actually the same kids that you sang with as a child.
Yeah, they didn't grow up.
And of course, it's part of a trilogy of pieces on this album, the Canadian Snack Time Trilogy. You know, we have popcorn too here in America.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't realize that it was originated in Canada during the Canadian invasion of 1964. Where the great Canadian group, the Beatles, came down to the United States. A lot of people don't realize that they snuck in with them their mentor, scientist Orville Redenbacher, who hails from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Popcorn!
There's a reference to the Beatles in one of your songs, in the allergies, the part where they go, chew!
Right.
But there's another reference to something, and I can't quite put my finger on it. Like, can we just play the beginning of track 12?
No.
Please?
Okay.
Oh, please.
pancake flying in the sky. I can see it. I can see it. And there's a castle in the cloud and it's floating on by. Can you see it? Can you see it?
Okay, stop. Okay, stop. That's all I needed. Now, okay, between several people we came up with The Heat Is On.
Yes, you got it.
Okay. By Glenn Frey. Oh, okay, that was the right one. Okay.
You had to have seen us in the studio. Like, what song is this? What is this? It's whatever it is, it's staying. And we're thinking, is it Neutron Dance? And we realize, no, it's Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, though. It was Heat Is On.
So you guys knew, you actually knew the riff and then went back to try and figure out what it was. So was it intentional to sprinkle in these sort of musical references to adult music?
Each song sort of became its own little journey, and that one sort of took a turn into the 80s.
The thing is for us is that we love all those kind of pop culture references, and we know that kids aren't always going to get it, but you can't play down to kids all the time. You want them to hear you having fun. And making a kid's record, I think we were a lot less self-conscious about those kinds of choices than we would be on a regular record, you know, about the kinds of references we'd make or the limits to pastiche.
So we've talked a lot here about why these are good kid's songs. What makes a really bad kid's song, like a horrible one?
I think things that try really hard to teach moral lessons to children, those kind of finger-wagging or condescending songs that treat kids as stupid. And a lot of that is just in the performance, too, that kind of, hey, kids, how are you? Eat your vegetables and brush your teeth 3 times a day. Let's get some exercise. That stuff makes me crazy. When I look at records that I grew up with that have moral messages, things like Free to Be You and Me or The Point or, you know, a lot of the Sesame Street material. Think about Schoolhouse Rock, which is all purpose-built music. But it has a lightness and a sense of humor and a sense of heart to it that's not just about, teaching somebody something.
You've been touring with this CD, and how have kids responded?
They throw things at us.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's been really great.
Stephen Page and Kevin Hearn are two members of the band Bare Naked Ladies. They've just released their first CD for kids. It's called Snack Time. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
There's more from the album at npr.org. Look for the music section. And one final Father's Day treat, my favorite song on the album, Pollywog in a Bog.
In a puddle by the trail, flips its tiny tail, just like a great big whale, but smaller than a snail. It's a pollywog in a bog, swims under soggy logs. One day you'll be a frog, pollywog in a bog. While he feeds on lily pads and weed, knows not where he's from or how his life had begun. He's not the only one.
Parting words tonight from scholar and author Greta Hoffman Nemiroff. She wrote, "Children bring us a sense of intimacy which cannot be replicated in adult relationships. Being attentive to physical comfort, hurt feelings, the ability to play with total concentration and joy. The nakedness of childhood preoccupations helps us to keep in touch with ourselves, with the child imprisoned within each adult."
Ribbit, ribbit, a tadpole exhibit, it's a transformation no one can inhibit. Amphibian change may seem strange, take them gills in the tail and they all rearrange.
And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Have a great week.